Good morning. Today is Monday, January the 20th, Martin Luther King's birthday, federal holiday, all that kind of stuff. So we're taping this in advance.
Yeah.
Actually, we're computerizing it in advance.
This is a digital simulation.
That's right. That's right. Virtual talk shop.
Today, we don't exist.
Yeah. Are you ready for our why do we say that, Mr. Dalby?
So why do we say that?
Is there any relationship to the loon implied in the term loony?
Yes. How's that?
Bingo. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Yes. Though the loon is not a crazy bird, his weird, loud cries sound like the laughter of an insane person. However, the choice of the word was no doubt influenced by its similarity in sound to lunacy. There you go.
That is interesting. And in fact, now it explains your laugh.
Yes. Well, and not only that, you got one right.
Yeah.
It's a double win today, huh?
A lottery ticket.
Yeah. Angie and I took an extended lunch a couple of Fridays ago during Christmas, and we're wandering in Old Town. Went in the Clark Museum, first time, long time, right? Still think it would be a cool bank, but
we'll set that
a functional cool bank, but we'll set that aside and put my history.
Other than parking and ADA issues, it would be a great bank.
Oh wait, parking doesn't seem to be an issue anymore with most of them. You look around and nobody has parking anymore, right? Well, I know that's what your neighbors think, so they're using your parking lot.
They use our parking lot.
Yeah, see, that's just great. A little consistency there. But they had a display of some the old currency in there, and I thought,
yes,
how interesting. Not the war bucks and things of that nature, but they had a copy of a $5,000 bill, a $1,000 bill, the $10,000 bill.
I'd like to see those. I've never seen
them. Some of those, it's on a a little frame thing going into where the Indian baskets and the canoes and all that kind of stuff reside. And I thought, how intriguing. You think of coin collectors and whatnot. I know one of your initial board members was big into stamp collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And John, baseball cards, he was stamps. People do collect currency. Do you have any explanation why we haven't seen more changes in American currency than what we have experienced?
Well, certainly because of the counterfeit issues, we've seen some changes in, hundreds, 20s, 50s. Our currencies remain relatively stable for years. In fact, we were just talking about before we started the $2 bill, and we don't see very many of them, but they're still circulating. I've never seen a $1,000 bill in my life.
Could you use it even?
My understanding, it's a registered instrument, but it's not regularly used. So in my entire career, I've never seen one, been associated with one, or known anybody who had one.
So
other than that, I know nothing.
Yeah. Let's say somehow, some way, I get a $1,000 bill. It's legit. It's not, no crayons involved, right?
Yeah, my guess is it's worth more than $1,000, but yeah.
Well, okay. So I look to use it as legal tender and give it to you. Are you guys under the responsibility or the legal requirement to then take that and turn it into the Treasury, or is that just treated as the equivalent of 1,000 $1 bills?
It would be treated as 1,000 $1 bills is the correct answer. What would probably happen is somebody in the bank would say, I want that, substitute it, rather than going to the Fed. But I do believe there's a registration element into it, so it's just not a negotiable certificate, is my understanding. Now, I'd have to do some research to confirm that, because that understanding is probably 20 years old.
Well, that's, if it hasn't come into play so far, probably not worth taking any effort to do that.
Well, you were mentioning the Clark Museum, and I have, over the last, 20 years, accumulated a number of canceled checks and other paraphernalia of some of the local banks.
Memorabilia is probably a little bit more proper term to use rather than, yeah.
Well, things, you know, giveaways and checkbook covers and, you know, things like that. But the canceled checks are really interesting in some of the banks that we've had here locally. And I will have, someday I'll have to bring those in and we'll go through
them. Cool. Do you have them on display or are they just like in a collectible book?
I have them in a box. And someday I'd like to create a display and I'd like to get some of the history. For instance, the Anglo-Crocker Bank. Now, that is not politically correct anymore. But there, at one time, there was the Anglo-Crocker Bank in Humboldt County.
Oh, and it would be cool to see where the banks were located.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was an old picture of one of those. You better move quick. I mean, with the rate, we're losing a lot of the old-timers.
Yeah.
But I want to jump on that one. Don't reflect too long on that. Now, are there $500 bills?
Not that I'm aware of.
So 100 is still the largest routinely used.
Correct. It's the only one that's the biggest bill that we deal with.
Because of the concern of counterfeit? Is that kind of what the federal
That's really what,
thought is?
What's available and what the market wants. Huh. I've never had anybody ask for anything larger that I'm aware of.
And pennies?
No, we don't. We've never done $1,000 in pennies.
Okay. Well, no, we're going on to the metal when we come back.
Although you can ask me about the million penny drive.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about somebody paying their initiation fee in pennies. KINS, News and Information Times 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. John, the metal currency that we have is a little bit different. It has gone through changes. I think probably the Kennedy 50-cent piece is probably one. But you go back historically, and that's where the big money, for collectors at least, really resides. I mean, some of those early dollar pieces or $10 pieces or $20 pieces are worth significantly more.
Funny how that works. And how if something is struck improperly, that becomes more valuable. If it came from a certain mint, that becomes more valuable.
Condition, obviously.
Exactly,
is part of it.
So yeah. I am not a collector of coins, although I have a small collection I inherited, but I don't think I've ever really spent any time looking at it.
Tucked away somewhere.
It's in a box somewhere, yeah.
Well, one good thing about coins is they don't mold like baseball cards do. Yeah. One of the big concerns is to start to see the spot on the cards.
Yeah.
So
that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. There has been movement, discussion at least, over the past years about eliminating the penny. Round things up, round things down. Okay, and it kind of just seems to surface every once in a while. But when you hear about some of these really, I'll call them goofy, esoteric might be another term, fraud that sometimes is committed by unscrupulous folks in financial services, and they go out about 10 places, and from that point out, that's what they get. You know, so it's 0.00084136, and they get that six out there at the end. And at the end of a period of time, it's worth a surprisingly amount, a large amount of money. Okay, so you look at pennies and you no big deal, just round it off to the nearest nickel. Okay, yeah, the Walmart scenario, make it up in volume, could be a huge amount of money either pumped into the economy or taken out of the economy just to round things off.
So theoretically, if you two-fifths of it would be rounded up, two-fifths would be rounded down. The question is, what do you do when it hits three?
Right.
Three or eight.
Yeah, which way do we roll?
Which way are you going?
Yeah.
And so that would be the rounding that would either benefit or harm the retailer if you got rid of the penny. One of the other problems with pennies is most of us don't like pennies, so what do? We throw them in a jar, we throw them in a box or,
parking lot.
Yeah. And so you have this pile, a lot of people have a pile of pennies laying around because they don't want to carry them, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you have to put in more pennies into circulation than we need. Now, I don't know what you do with
that. There's nothing as cool as a shiny penny, though. I mean, it looks brand new. I mean, those just really look cool. Seeing the date of 2019 on it, though, is a little bit of a mind-altering moment for me, but okay, fine. Yeah, it's still seeing the shiny. Has it outgrown its use?
Until we're willing to round to the nearest 5 cents, it has not.
Well, you could probably just mandate it. I mean, everything else gets mandated, right?
Boom.
Yeah.
Could it be done? Yes, it can be done. Somebody's going to benefit from that rounding error, but there we are. In fact, you were talking about there have been computer scams in which employees of financial institutions or other institutions that calculate interest. Well, there's always an odd number. So if you can take that odd number and throw it somewhere where nobody sees it, yes, you could accumulate a lot of money over a short period of time, which is what you're talking about, as long as there's a lot of transactions. And nobody's really going to notice it from the accounting standpoint because everything gets rounded to the nearest penny.
It's the Maserati
for the
that you start driving
exactly.
That kind of clues people in something goofy, yeah.
But with that said, the penny, we still deal with a lot of pennies and we still see a lot of pennies. But now when I go to a retail, in fact, I was one at a retailer just the other day and it was $4.99 was the total. And she just looked at me and said, "Do you want your penny?" I go, "No."
yeah. It kind of becomes one of those things, doesn't it? It's just kind of out there.
And who doesn't have a little tray there for people to put the odd pennies in?
Anymore,
so that,
yeah.
You know, you can take it or so forth. But anyway, it's not a big issue. But
it would seem pretty straightforward that it could be done if it really was kind of a pain and a nuisance. Now, you hear stories, at least I remember hearing stories that it costs more to make a penny than what it's worth.
It has to.
Yeah, just with the copper that's associated with it, right? So if it's a cost moment, why hasn't there been more movement to eliminate this thing?
Who knows? Becomes a political issue, I'm quite sure.
All right. Well, let's go the other direction. The Susan B. Anthony. All right. The dollar coin, the gold coin, which I always thought, I think that's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of tipping with a dollar,
the size of a quarter.
Yeah, I know. Somebody missed it on that target also. Do we see those still being minted? Will there be 2020 Susan B. Anthony's?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
You guys don't get much request for those?
Every once in a while we will, and we'll try and order them, but they're...
Oh, special order then.
Yeah. We routinely don't keep them.
Huh. Yeah, somebody, one of my buddies on the East Coast, I even forget who it is now, they like using those. Leave a pile of 10 Susan B. Anthony's rather than $10 bill. The impression is made, and it's kind of cool for the waiter or waitress also to be able to have something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, another good idea. It's kind of come and gone, like this show. First half is now gone. We'll be back.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. Happy Martin Luther King,
King's
birthday.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't think there were a lot of them. Junior. I thought it might be possessive.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. Did I forget the Jr.?
Yeah.
Jr.
That's all right.
Okay. Here we go.
I forgive you.
Yes. John Dalby is alongside the show's recorded for playback at this time. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. John, the concept of going totally cashless is something I know that the Chinese government has been really trying to push for a number of years. You know, you got the charge card, the debit card, thank you very much card. That's all she wrote, which I think is, for some of us, oh, gray hairs, is still a little, okay, no hairs, is still a little disconcerting because, you know, what if you lose the card? What if somebody's computer system isn't working and isn't taking, or you're kind of left out there in the wind? Do you think America will ever get to that point?
Oh, I think it's inevitable. Now, I'm not going to predict when, but I think at some point in time, currency creates a number of issues. One, you mentioned the penny, more expensive to manufacture than it is, a value. It's probably going to become the true of most coin. Currency is easily counterfeited.
Counterfeit thing is a little bit challenging, isn't it?
And then you have, the black market exists solely because currency does. So there's a criminal element to the whole thing. So there's a number of things that are reasons to go cashless. And the question about what happens if I lose my debit card, well, you order another one. they're instant issue anymore. So it's not a big deal. The biggest issue is, if you write your PIN number on it and somebody gets a hold of it, they're going to be able to use it. But hopefully you don't do that. So there are some safeguards in it. There are also a lot of opportunities when you go totally electronic for fraud to take place.
And that's what I was saying with the computerization.
Yeah. And most of the fraud that we see, well, in fact, all of the fraud that we've seen at our bank has been involved in what we call social issues. And that is where
save the left-handed dogs.
Yeah.
Kind of
or
thing, yeah.
they fish you to get you to click on a link to give them information, and they'll follow your keystrokes, find out your various information about you, or simply they'll call you, and we're all getting bombarded with the calls about the IRS, my student loans. Believe it or not, I've got issues with my student loans.
I've got a vehicle warranty expiration.
Yeah, I got 20, that call today.
I'm my 23-year-old truck.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd love to be able to engage, but normally, they're calling out here around 9 o'clock, so I've kind of got things happening just to play it out, just to see.
But the fact that they keep calling says that it's working. They are getting people to respond and give them information, which will include anything from your name, address, date of birth, social security number, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's the biggest thing that I tell people how to avoid fraud is, one, don't click on any link that you on any email that you didn't know was coming.
Always hit reply and see what happens.
And
nothing. Yeah.
Well, if you hit reply, you might be opening a link and putting stuff on.
Oh, really?
Your computer.
A reply?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Do not.
Just delete.
Not do anything.
Huh. I think I just kind of do that hover thing and see who.
Yes. And what you're talking about is if there is a link, you can put your mouse over it, and it will. It may say that this is a link to BrianPapstein.com, but when you hover it, it might have a Russian.
Might say Dalby?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so if you hover on it, it'll show you what the actual link that you're hitting is.
Oh, but so that can't be faked.
That's my understanding, yet. Although it's a matter of time before they figure that one out, too.
Sure.
They can fake the phone number that they're calling you from.
I think everybody's experienced that one.
Exactly. Yeah. And, the other one is just plain giving your password and PIN number to people you trust. Happens all the time in businesses where, you know, they, you know, you hire a bookkeeper and you give them access to everything. And as one of my friends who's a CPA would tell you, make sure you're looking at your statements.
Oh, I thought it was a Reagan thing. Trust but verify.
It's exactly what it is.
Same, right?
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you trust them with your accounts, but certainly you want to check. At least open your own statements and find out.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, so if we are headed down this path towards a cashless society, how significant of a difference would it be to your industry, to other industry, bars, things like that, that typically are deal with a lot of currency on a regular basis? You know, Las Vegas would be another one. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know they do a lot of the electronic thing now with the gambling and the casinos and stuff, so they've kind of already gone that way. Would it be a big deal, or would it be just kind of more of a historical, cultural thing?
Well, certainly the need to come in, for business to come in and make daily deposits, diminishes substantially. So you have two issues when you have a cashless society, and then we're heading towards a checkless society. And in fact, I don't know about you, but I used to routinely carry a checkbook every day. And, you know, today I don't carry one. I have one locked somewhere that I go get if I need it. But rarely do I actually write a check anymore.
Well, I've kind of used the analogy a little bit recently. It's like an envelope. How many people don't know how to properly address an envelope or write a check?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right up there with cursive writing. It's just starting to fade away.
Yeah, and, you know, for us old guys, it's hard to imagine, but that is the direction we're going. And I'm sure our parents and our grandparents look at us and say, well, how come you don't blank
right.
anymore?
Yeah, wind up the front of the truck.
Yeah.
Only when it's really icy. So it as it goes that direction, I mean, just simply saying, you know, that would eliminate the criminal element.
Wouldn't eliminate it, but it would certainly change the black market.
Okay, yeah, with the transactions,
right?
Things like that.
How do I buy my drugs illegally if I have to do it through a debit card or
right.
some other means?
So it's kind of curious that law enforcement agencies aren't pushing for that. That federal government, state governments aren't kind of politely suggesting. With a 4x6, to guys, we're going to start doing this. Set a deadline of 10 years from now, and then at that point, no more currency will be made, and it'll just be taken out of circulation. And after about 6 months, it won't be there.
Yeah, there must be a reason they don't. One would be political will, certainly. I know I prefer, you know, for small transactions to use cash rather than, you know, because if I use my debit card all the time, I have to make that entry to keep track of everything.
Right.
So I'd rather have a little bit of cash in my pocket, and if I'm going to buy a cup of coffee or something, pay cash for it. But we all do things differently.
Back to our pennies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it goes back to reconciling your checking account. You know, is that a lost art?
Yeah. Yeah, I would suspect probably so. Yeah.
So a lot of things are changing, and you had asked the question, what does that do to our industry, you know, the banking industry? Well, certainly we're not going to have as much direct contact with the client as we would otherwise. So most of the time we're going to have contact with the customer is problem solving, setting up accounts, designing systems and products for customers, and, of course, loan needs. So you're going to see.
But the day-to-day relationship, hi, how you doing? You know, how was
no
last
currency,
week?
No checks, no need to come into the teller line.
Yeah. Interesting, no checks. See, I feel more comfortable no currency than I do no check.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but.
Probably down the road somewhere, sometime.
But at some point, it's so expensive to process checks.
Well, at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Making the things and then taking them in, too.
Right. And then sending them through the Fed. And this came up not too long ago, and that was, used to be years ago, that every bank and every branch would have a proof operator. And all the checks and deposits would go through, and they would put the amount of it on there, and that then all that work would physically go to the Federal Reserve every day. That doesn't happen. Everything's scanned and sent in images. And so the old proof operators don't exist anymore. And that's been gone for a long time, and yet we've never really noticed it.
Right, and the system hasn't hiccuped.
Every once in a while it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Machines aren't perfect, nor are humans.
You find that out every day. Enjoy your day off. See everybody tomorrow.